Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I don't know about you, but I came to the house of the Lord today with a hunger and a thirst for Him. I came with a respect and an admiration of worship and praise towards Him. Amen. And I can truly say it doesn't matter what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, it's sad that when people sometimes are in a condition that they got to come amongst people that are truly worshiping for they can find worship. See, you should always have a spirit of worship. It should be something in your heart, something that just wants to say, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. I praise you, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that should be something within you that would almost, you know, be like a pressure pot that if you was trying to hold that in, then sometimes we could hold back so much that we truly quench the Spirit of God. You know, I've been there. I've done that, where you quench God. Amen. This morning as we was in prayer, the Lord spoke to me, told me to call on Brother Dale. And you see, Brother Dale was there. He was praying, talking to the Lord. Yes, he was. There's no doubt about that. But see, it gave him an opportunity to release. And when it released, there was an anointing that affected others. And there was an anointing that came. And it's the Lord directed. But you see, this is where we should be anyway, brothers and sisters, in a perspective, because as the Lord will move on a man and give him an unction, you know, from the Holy Ghost and this thing, and it'd be a spirit that would help to deliver, to break, and maybe to set someone else free. That's what prayer's about, brothers and sisters. You know, we could get on our knees and pray for ourselves and say, oh God, I have need, Lord God. Oh Father, help me, Jesus. Oh Lord, this and that. But according to my Bible, that's praying amiss. Now I know the Lord Jesus sought the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane and was praying and things and great drops of blood. Now you got to take what I said with an understanding. Yes, we do pray. Say, God, help me when I'm weak, make me strong, Lord God. That's the proper way to pray. But what I'm saying is, when we're continually petitioning the throne of God and just for our needs, but somewhere we need to come to the throne and say, thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. I worship you. Magnify Him. Praise Him. Rejoice on your day of affliction, on the day of infirmities, on the day of suffering. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, equipping me with your power that I can suffer for your name's sake. Amen. To bring glory and honor and praise to your kingdom. Amen. And I'll tell you what, man, when you learn that you can do that, it's okay. You know, sometimes people got praise of God in their heart because their bills are paid. Man, I got a big job, or I got my needs met and I done it. Man, I can praise God and I can worship Him. Man, glory be to God. You know, and that's okay. And I'm with you. Amen. And been there. But you know what? Somewhere you need to learn to praise like the apostles and the disciples did as they were running out of the jail. Man, found it worthy to be beaten for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for the suffering. Lord God, I thank you for tribulation. I thank you, Lord God, for these people that are pressing against the things of God, that we could show forth the love of God. Amen. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that's when you start finding the reality of worship and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, about 2 years ago, I guess it's rolling around on 2 years here sometime, when I got busted up. But I'll tell you what, I learned some things, amen, that I never would have learned in health and strength. And I'll tell you, I don't have no sorrows, amen. Would you want to go through it again? No, I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I could tell you one thing, I praise Him for allowing me to go through it, amen. You take a mama when she has that little baby, she's holding it in her arms and loves them, say, boy, this is so beautiful, nice. Well, you want to go through that pain again? Well, we don't want to talk about that part. I just like this part here. You know, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter this morning. Again, appreciate the brethren, their labors, their loyalty, their love, their contributions of their lives and things to the work of God. Amen. And I find it an honor and a joy to be a pastor to such a great people. We'll read a little bit and trust the Lord to speak to us this morning and encourage us and edify us this morning. And I can say that He's already met that to me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, the second letter, Peter, the first chapter there. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, If I was going to stop right there and talk about those two things. A lot of times we think of things, you know, the glory of God, the virtue of the Lord. And that's all we do is we don't really ponder on what those two things are. When He granted and given us His glory, brothers and sisters. I know the Bible said He won't give His glory to none, but we're not one of those others. We're bone and bone and flesh of the flesh, amen. And the virtue of the Lord, when we think of what virtue is. Again, we're living in a day and an hour that there's not much virtue. There used to be things, you could even consider sometimes people being virtuous, even outside of the realms of Christ, which there's a fine line there. I understand that there's not going to be any virtue except in Him. But there would still be an appearance of virtue. But again, it's something that's fading away. Amen, from our society. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you think that this scripture is applicable today, in this day and hour? I could say yea and amen. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Without faith, we do know the Bible teaches that we can't please God. But here it's asking us to add to our faith virtue. As we say so oftentimes, we go back and we read the story in the Bible about the Lord Jesus. And we find that this woman touched Him. And the Bible records that the virtue left Him. As the Lord said, who touched me? They said, Lord, man, there's people all around you pressing and people pressing and things and such. And you're asking, who touched you? But you see, brothers and sisters, there was a touch that took place there that was beyond the five senses of touch. You know, we think of somebody touching you, you know, and maybe putting their hand on you or touching you. But you see, there was something different because there was others that was touching Him and it didn't get His attention, did it? It didn't move the Lord. It didn't stop Him and say, wait a minute, who touched me? But there was one that did touch Him. And when she touched Him, the virtue went forth. I remember talking with my pastor, Brother Pike. He was speaking about that very thing, the virtue. And he said, you know, this is why there's not as many healings and miracles and things that are taking place today. As when we read in the early church and we go back and we look at the things and find even Peter when he was at the gate called Beautiful. And we think of there had to have been virtue, brothers and sisters, that went forth. And I do know that I could testify myself that many times when people come forward for prayer, we can go through the motions to be obedient to the scriptures and the word. We can go through the motions and we could lay hands and we could pray. We could ask the brethren to be obedient to the scriptures to come forward in the church elders. I esteem you as elders, brothers and sisters, in the things of God. And you could come forward and we'd be obedient to the word and anoint them with oil. And the Bible said they shall be healed. But I've had people come in and we go through the emotions and lay hands. And I don't feel the virtue draw forth from my body. One would say, well, maybe you have the problem, preacher. Well, maybe Jesus did also. Maybe Jesus had the same problem when He was in Nazareth. Maybe the disciples had the same problem when some of them come before them. And the Lord said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now see, that was something right there that was expressed to the disciples, the prayer and the fasting. Why do they want to pray and fast? For they could be hungry? They want to pray and fast to build virtue in their life and strength. You see, virtue comes from the Spirit of God. The virtue that set this woman free with the issue of blood came from Christ. You see, and when I lay hands on somebody and I feel this virtue come forth from me, it's the virtue of the body of Christ. I know I'm part of that body. I'm part of the body of Christ. But brothers and sisters, it's not just the obedience to the word isn't what's going to bring the healing. That's a good place to be. But it's going to take this virtue. Without faith, the Bible again says we won't know God. We can't please God. We have to have faith. But to faith, it's saying to add to this faith, to add virtue. So then we need to understand that how are we going to add virtue to our faith? You say, I've got faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I got faith. I believe that He raised from the dead. I got faith, I believe that He gave us everything that pertaineth unto life. I got faith, I believe. But then yet there's many times people have a confession of this, and we don't see the manifestation of faith. You could talk about the mysteries. You could talk about the Word of God. You could be so precise and direct on the quotes and the scriptures. Again, as I say, so on the chronological perspectives of the word and when this happened and what's going to take place next. And you could be right so much on and sound so correct and right. But if there's no virtue there, brothers and sisters, There's nothing. It's the virtue. So we're commanded here saying faith. Add to faith virtue. How do I add virtue, brothers and sisters? Well, virtue comes, brothers and sisters, with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need this virtue. And how we're going to receive virtue is by seeking Him. Looking to Him. Desiring Him. Praising Him. Worshiping Him. Admiration towards Him. Do you realize that when we're married, that our companions need love, honor, respect? Sometimes God cuts us off from those very things of the intimacy in the spiritual realm because we are lacking to give it to one that we call our companion. The Bible said, if I can't love my brother, which I do see, how could I say I love God that I cannot see? So I'm commanded in the Word to have this love of God that I've got to love my brother and the people that I see. And if I can't do that, they say, how can I love a God that's, we could say, invisible? Well, if this applies to a brother, how much about a companion? How about a companion? How can I say that I love God? How can I express the virtue to come forth out of me for to meet the needs of people if I haven't met the virtue of the Lord or it hasn't met with me? It's His virtue, and it'll manifest in the things that are right among us. You see, the ministry of the gospel, brothers and sisters, starts at home. If I don't have my house in order, the Bible teaches that I can't preach in the house of God. Well, what does that mean? When you got your house in order, you say, woman, this is what you're going to do today. Woman, this is where you're going to be today. Woman, this is what you're going to fix for dinner today. Woman, I want the laundry done. Woman, I want this. Woman, I want that. Woman, I want this. Woman, shut your mouth. Woman, do what I say. Woman, do this. Woman, do that. You say, boy, there you go, Brother Rob. You got your house in order. I think it goes beyond that. There's an order, brothers and sisters, of worship. There's an order of virtue. Why did the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ leave Him? Because of love. He had a love to meet the needs of people. And this woman tapped into that love and that virtue and that strength and that power of God. She knew something there. Can somebody come into your midst and have that genuine love and faith and virtue and touch you and draw it forth from you? I find myself at times very alarmed because I could have someone come into the altars and I lay hands and I feel that virtue leave my body. And I mean, sometimes it just about, when it leaves you, it just about buckles your knees because it's just such a power that just surges through you. And you know that that individual that had received the petition that they sought God for. Sometimes they don't even speak and share with you what the element or the problem or the complication or the affliction is. But it departs your body and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And you know that you know that you know that you know that the thing had been met. And then others come in. You've done nothing different. You want the best for them. You want them to receive that same thing and you lay hands and it doesn't go. And you don't feel this release. You toil sometimes. And Terry and I've done that. And taken authority over the problem. And then sometimes it'll set free. Speaking of in prayer this morning, I said, you see, there was something that until I asked the brother, it wasn't being released. So who was being hindered? Not just him, there was others' hindrance. But when the release came to Brother Dale, then it said a release to others. He wasn't going through the motions. There was a real genuine spirit of worship that came on him of prayer. You see, when there's prayer in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, it's different. I don't talk about just speaking in tongues and like they say, well, that's praying in the Spirit. I understand, but there's a spirit of prayer. Not to esteem you or to make people look at you. I know the Bible says, you know, these ones that come in and want to have these long, repetitious prayers and things. I understand the scriptures. It's line upon line. Was that what Jesus was doing in Gethsemane? When He asked His brethren to pray with Him there? This is the house of prayer. What are we supposed to do here? You know, there's people that don't understand things. Well, if this is the house of prayer, we're supposed to pray here. Well, prayer is a personal thing. I say, yes, there is a personal time of prayer. There is a prayer closet prayer. There's a prayer that we pray, brothers and sisters, that would be an intimacy towards Christ. That you would feel violated to pray that, even publicly. I understand that. But there's a time that we unify together in prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Always pray. You see, we're talking about virtue still. Virtue's going to come, brothers and sisters, by prayer. Virtue will come by prayer and separation from the world and walking according to the Word of God. We need to add virtue to our faith. Again, faith, if we was going to speak on faith this morning. So many people say, well, I'm faith. My faith is Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal. Oh, my faith is Baptist. My faith is Methodist. That has nothing to do with faith. The Bible doesn't express that as faith anywhere. People say, well, this is what my faith is. No, that's not your faith. There's one faith, one God, is what the Bible says. And we've got to get faith. Without faith, it's sin. If you have not faith, you have sin. And sin is the sting of death. Without faith, you're dead. Without faith, you have no hope. Without faith, you can't know God. Without faith, you can't see God. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't be numbered as a son of God. There's got to be faith. And you say, well, faith is everything we need. Faith is all in all. Faith is complete. Faith is full. But it says here to add to that faith virtue. You're commanded this in the scriptures and the word. You're not going to get it through the things of natural life. Let's switch gears here for a moment. I talk about the love of a husband and wife. It brings strength and virtue to a relationship because they love one another. They communicate with one another. They encourage one another. He loves her when she's wrong. He loves her when she's weak. He loves her when she's down. He loves her and embraces her. That's what Jesus done to me. He picked me up when I was down. The Bible teaches that when I was down in the mire, He picked me up and cleansed me. That's the example. That's the example that He showed towards me. He didn't love me because of my goodness and my virtue and because of my righteousness. He didn't love me because I was clean and pure. He purified and cleansed me and granted and added virtue and strength and power to me. We're serving an awesome God. We're not worthy of those things, but He granted them to us and gave them to us. And then when we come to realize that, He gives us the opportunities to show forth the same virtue towards humanity. It's easy to love people that love you. It's easy to love people when they come up and say, I love you, Brother Rob. Well, I love you too. That's easy. But we got to show that love and that concern and that care that we have one for another to people that aren't worthy of love. Then we're exercising something. Now we're exercising something in Christ. We're exercising something. Some people are easy to love. That's not exercising anything. But some people would be more difficult to love. You see, without love, we have nothing. Let's read just a little more here. Let's go all the way back to verse 4. It says, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises. They're given to us. Amen. That by these you might be partakers. How many want to be partakers today? I think everybody should be. Of the divine nature. We have a natural nature, brothers and sisters, that's relative to the flesh, but there's a divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Where does lust come from? It's in the world, it says. But do you realize that we could strengthen lust just as well as we could strengthen virtue? We could strengthen lust by letting our fleshly emotions and things express themselves and fulfilling the desires of fleshly lust. There's things that we could desire, brothers and sisters, in God. And there's things that we have to meet the needs of the physical man. There's things that we have to do in this physical realm of natural substance and things that are requirements that we got to have to even keep a reproach off the name of God. You see, if we can't provide for our household, we're worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. We're worse than an unbeliever. We say, oh, we're Christians. So there are things that we've got to do to keep the reproach off. That's not lusting after the things of the world, to have possessions, natural possessions. Paul made a statement. He said, you know, I've brought you spiritual things. Isn't it permissible that I could receive from you the natural things, the things that pertain to this life or the substances that he could go on and fulfill the callings of God and to bring the word of God? You see, but that's not lust. Lust is a strong desire. You see, as I've said in times, you can own a business or a business can own you. There's a lot of differences. And I find that many businessmen, brothers and sisters, are owned by their businesses. We operate and keep order in a business. But a business could put you out of order if your business is running your life. When your business is more important than your worship, when your business is more important than being in the house of God, when your business takes preeminence over the things of God, you're out of order and your business has become a curse and your business owns you and you're in bondage to business. I've been there. I speak about these things, brothers and sisters, because I've been guilty. You know, it's one thing, you know, to say, oh, I understand this, understand that, but to live in it, to fail in it. When you fail something, I remember flying an airplane, and man, I'm going to impress my brother. I'll show you, and I'll put this thing right on the numbers. I always was trying to do better. Everything precise and right. It wasn't just a thing of proud, you know, I'm going to show you, but it was a thing of showing precision. And I had this thing all slowed down, ready to touch right on the numbers in a DC-9. And this guy added power to taxi, and I mean to tell you, I'm all flared out, ready to just touch right on the numbers, and all of a sudden, I'm in a 90-degree bank in a very slow speed, a stall speed. My wingtip's probably 3 foot from the ground. You know, I had to add full power, get my airplane straight down, get it flying again, and then I landed it, and my heart was in my throat. But I mean, there was heartbeats and places and stuff, and I mean, it scared me. Now see, I could talk to a student pilot and say, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about this jet blast, and let me tell you what it does. But you see, I had one thing in mind. I'm going to show this guy, I'm going to put this thing right on the numbers. But you see, I learned something that could have cost me my life, and maybe somebody else, and I learned something. I'm speaking to you this morning because, brothers and sisters, you have a pastor that has made many failures over the years, and it showed God's mercy, His grace, His love, His kindness. And He picks me up and cleanses me and helps me and leads me and directs me and guides me. And then I could speak to you and say, listen, I know the Word of God, and it's real, it's true. Amen. And we got to learn, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we could talk about our God that learned obedience by the things He suffered. Why? Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, learning obedience by the things He suffered. I could stand here before you and say, I've learned some obedience by some suffering. Maybe you can't say that. He said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Brothers and sisters, if you're about the Lord's business and you're walking in the commandments of God, you're going to fellowship with suffering. You're going to find it. I'm telling you, if your Christianity is that, you know, everything's fine, everything's good, you know, everybody loves you, man, mom loves you, dad loves you, and brothers and aunts and uncle, everybody, you ain't walking in the Christianity I know. And the one that Jesus spoke about, come to put a sword between that mother and daughter. Well, I don't understand that. You know, He's a God of love. That's what happens when you fall in love with God. We're serving an awesome God. Let's continue to read on here. The divine nature escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Let's talk about knowledge for a second here. Let's add knowledge to you for you can be puffed up in your fleshly mind. Let's add knowledge to you for you can think too highly of yourself. Let's add knowledge to you that you could get so fleshly puffed up that you go to hell. Is that what he's talking about here? Well, there must be a different knowledge then. Or maybe we have to differentiate knowledge. See, there's an intellectual knowledge and there's this knowledge that comes by the Spirit. They're different. The Bible talks about the gifts of God. One of the gifts of God is the word of knowledge. I've spoke about this in times past, I know. So the word of knowledge, we could probably ask each and every one of you to explain what that is. We'd probably get several different interpretations of it. I've experienced it. I've experienced the word of knowledge that would unveil things that I wouldn't have known. You see, a natural intellectual knowledge I could get by reading the Word. I could read this Bible, and I could read it and understand it and talk about it and discuss it. I could tear it apart. I could look at it and different things. I've achieved the knowledge. You could say, well, that's a good knowledge because it's something of the Word. I could say yay and amen. But that knowledge could puff you up. Puffed up in a fleshly mind. Can I be puffed up in the mind of Christ? Or can I be puffed up in a fleshly mind? I remember making a statement. I said, you know, the mind of man puffs you up and the mind of Christ catches you up. There's a difference. There's most definitely a difference. You see, humility comes, brothers and sisters, when you have humility in the knowledge of God, because when you really come to the divine knowledge of God, the divine nature that it's speaking about here, this is going to humble you. You know why it's going to humble you? Because you've tapped into something that is so superior and so awesome and so powerful, it's going to make you humble because you're going to feel so small. But when you've tapped into something that makes you feel big and better than others, you've tapped into something of another knowledge that has puffed you up. Now I could talk about the experiences in an airplane. I could talk about those things, but I can apply them right now. I've partaken of both knowledges. I've been partakers of both worlds. I've eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I've eaten of the things that brought a curse to me. And I've eaten of the things that's brought a blessing to me. And the thing is, it makes me observant and understand and comprehend. And I can see when people are doing the same things. Or if they're walking on the same course of failure. You see, I'm not trying to give Satan strength this morning to discuss my failures. I've taken those things and turned them into stepping blocks that I can take and I could be a better soldier for Christ Jesus. You know, I've never been a soldier in the natural military, but I think if I was going to be put on a field somewhere in the foreign soils or whatever and say, hey, we're fighting against this adversary. Go, I would like to think that I had somebody that had been on the battleground before with me. Somebody to lead me and guide me and show me some of the things. Young man, don't do this. Man, I've stood at the side of many gravesides and watched these young soldiers and stuff that did what you're doing. Don't do that. Wisdom in a multitude of counsel, the Bible says. Sometimes we could find ourselves being a people that don't want to be taught. That we think if we submit to a brother for edification, or submit to a brother for counsel, or for knowledge, or for understanding, it makes that brother smarter than you are, and you don't want to submit to it. I remember using an example to you in times past. I could say, man, I've been an aircraft mechanic, or I've been a car mechanic. Man, I've worked on this and worked on that, and here comes some guy that doesn't even know what an open-end wrench is. Well, you don't know nothing. I'm not listening to you. And he might listen to a vehicle that you're sitting there trying to diagnose with all of your knowledge and understanding and all of your experience and stuff. Said, you know, my grandmother had a car just like this. And it was doing just like this, and this is what it was. Maybe you've never experienced anything like that. I have. And here's somebody that didn't even know what they were expressing. I don't know what a catalytic converter is, but hers was plugged up. And that's what it sounds like yours is doing. You see, and I could say thank you, Jesus, because he sent somebody along. The Bible talks about out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God perfects praise. Out of babes! Well, why not over in this other dimension, this other realm, that somebody come along and all of a sudden you say, well, praise God. So again, on the expression of knowledge, brothers and sisters, we can find a knowledge that we can get that would harm us. We're going to gain knowledge through the intellectual concepts. We're going to apply ourselves. We're going to read the scriptures and word. But in doing so, yes, it's going to come through an intellectual, so to speak, filter, we might say. It's going to come through that way. But somewhere we got to make sure that we convert it to the Spirit, to the things of God and the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, when we think of the spirit flesh and the natural flesh, it's totally different. The corruptible flesh, the spirit flesh. When we think of a spiritual knowledge and a corruptible knowledge, they're different. This other knowledge is temporal and it'll fade away. The knowledge of God will never. And we've got to come to this supernatural spirit word of knowledge. It's sadness to add that. Why? For we could be exalted as somebody of understanding. Is it for we could project ourselves as somebody a little better than the next individual? No, that's not what the word of knowledge is for, brothers and sisters. The word of knowledge is for that you will have an understanding that comes from the spiritual world that you could help somebody else and prefer your brother better than you. And knowing what their complication or shortcomings or failures are because it's been granted to you by the spirit of the word. And when you bring that forth, you could deal with the complications and the problems and make you more accurate. Not to be esteemed as anything or anybody, that Christ's work could be fulfilled. Let's go a little more here. And to knowledge temperance. Now we could just skip that. Let's maybe fly by this one. The Bible has another place in the scriptures where it's speaking about things that we need and things that we don't need and things. And it talks about incontinence. Now we take that word and we can think of maybe an elderly person that loses their control. Naturally speaking, they might have to wear a diaper. And this is what they would call that. But when a man can't control his temperance, that's what the condition that he's in. He has lost self-control. You could look at a natural man or something and you could say, oh, you know, that's sad. They've lost self-control of their bladder or whatever. And they got to have this help and this and that. And you could look at it that way. But what about in the other dimension or in the spiritual perspective? I would say that's far more sad. But then yet it's a problem. You know, if you was going to be trained in martial arts, you know, that's one of the early things in training. They start training you temperance, self-control. You lose your temper, you don't know how to fight. You will do things irrational, out of rage, instead of control. So they're teaching a man how to face an opponent, naturally speaking, with control. How he can keep his emotions, his temperance, and all these things in a control. And it'll make him more skilled in combat, hand-to-hand combat, or whatever you want to say, in the trade. Not esteeming these things, brothers and sisters, but I'm looking at something that we see as Jesus spoke about farming and different things. And these people have enough understanding that there's got to be a control, a self-control. We could say that in many cases, temperance is a thermometer of a spiritual perspective of you. It could be a thermometer. So you take a thermometer and you stick it in the baby's mouth, or a thermometer and stick it in a child's mouth, or whatever you do. It's something to probe this individual looking, because one of the first things that's going to show up is usually a fever if it's combating or fighting something in that child or individual. So maybe temperance could be a thermometer in your life that you could check and see where you're at. And if you don't have self-control, then possibly, you know, it's easy to blame it on others. Well, this guy pushed my buttons. This guy done that. God sent that guy to push your buttons. God sent that man to get in your face. God prepared that man's heart. God hardened his heart. That man was sin of God. His steps were ordered by the Lord. And it doesn't give us the right. See, we have a way of looking at other people making them wrong for we can feel right. I understand these things, brothers and sisters. I teach these things because I understand them. And the reason I've understand them, because I've dealt with every one of those spirits in my own life. You know why? Because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. I can't stand here before you and say, well, God made me a pastor and he done this and that and had me all prepared from childhood and he did that. But still, I had to conquer and had to fight in war against the enemy of God, which was myself. I had to learn to combat and fight. I had to learn to get temperance in my life. It's not an easy thing to get. Oh, I think you just need to pray and ask God to give it to you. Do it. Start praying. Amen. The next one's patience. Start praying for that too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, I want patience. Tribulation brings patience. How many of you have been in tribulation before? Tribulation brings patience. Why would God use tribulation to bring patience? I've used examples here. We used martial arts a minute ago, but what about in martial arts? What about training to fight in the natural realms? And we could say martial arts or boxing or whatever. Why do they put an opponent in there? Why do they get some opponent and they put him in the ring with you and they want to get one that's good, that could maybe break your block, that could maybe catch you off guard when you're not looking? It makes you learn something. I'm not speaking about the things of the natural, even though I'm using them as a perspective. What about in the things of God? What about in the spiritual warfare? What about in the spiritual fight? Who is going to teach you to be a good soldier for Christ? Who's going to send the sparring partners to you in life that you could conquer some of the things of your own life to get temperance? Who's going to send something to you to bring temperance? Somebody's going to have to be there to push against you. I know this isn't new revelation to y'all, but this is something that we've got to deal with each and every day in our life. Yeah, you may have heard this before, but have you applied it? Have you conquered it? Have you? You see, brothers and sisters, it's my calling to stir these things up in you. It's easy to look over and see my shortcomings. It's easy to look over and maybe see Andy's shortcomings, or Brother Mike, or Dale, or Brother Ed. But what about to look at your own? You see, now we're talking about something that takes help. We're usually blind to ourselves. You realize that? We as men are usually blind to our own self. And many times we can just think too highly of ourselves. And we compare everybody by what we think of ourselves. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be. That's a puffed up place to be. It's wrong. This is why when we talk about the knowledge, we're not receiving a knowledge that puffeth up. We're receiving a knowledge, brothers and sisters, and an understanding how to get other people caught up. The things of God that we want to bring into our life, yes, they bring prosperity and blessings to us, but we're receiving these things to bring it to others. And then we've come into the real understanding of it. So if patience is the next thing here that we look at, and we say tribulation brings these patience, so do we pray for God to bring tribulation to us? Do we need to pray to have God bring tribulation to us? I'll tell you what, when you're going through tribulations and things, there is a quicker way through. The children of Israel was going through the wilderness. There was a quicker way through than 40 years. Even though God had his way in it and showing some allegories of things that are beautiful, but there was a way that they could have bypassed the 40 years. Sometimes there's young people that come to more of a revelation or an understanding of who they are. But naturally speaking, this observation of humanity, it's usually when a man becomes about 40 years is when he starts getting himself established a little bit. Starts getting through the youthful lust, the youthful thrust of things. When they're 20, they're sure they know everything. When they're 40, they started realizing they don't. And then they find themselves having to deal with the other 20-year-olds who are just like them. Things run patterns, brothers and sisters. So when we think of patience, God is going to allow things in our lives. Sometimes there's obstacles before us that if we could conquer them, we make big steps. What is it today, maybe in your life, that would help you? What kind of tribulations are in your life for you to perfect this and to bring forth? There's virtue that comes, brothers and sisters, with these things. To patience, godliness. Have you ever considered that? You know, we pray and say, God, I want the spirit of revelation. What is it? Godliness. The spirit of revelation isn't knowledge nor understanding, even though it brings knowledge and understanding. But it's going to most definitely yield forth godliness in your life. These things that we're speaking about today come with the spirit of revelation because it's His spirit receiving the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the revelation is the revealing of it. Revelation isn't to reveal you as somebody, to esteem you as anybody, to make you better than someone else, to make you have this preeminent, so to speak, religion. The revelation of Jesus Christ is to reveal Him. And you cannot reveal Him when you're standing in front of Him. You have to get out of the way. So what brings you out of the way? Virtue, patience, self-control, temperance. You show that this man's got control, that he's under subjection and control to Christ. Seems like a simple message today, but it's very complex. I could say, if we were speaking about golfing, I could say there's only two things you need to know to be a good golfer. Two things. I'm going to explain it to you right now. You got to know how to judge your distance, and you got to know how to keep your direction. That's all you got to do. Judge your distance and direction. I mean, that's not complicated. You know, to be where you should be in Christ, there's just a few little things we're reading about here. That's all you've got to do. You just got to have temperance. You just got to have patience. You just got to have virtue. You just have to have godliness. I mean, that's all. Praise God, just a couple little things here, and we can apply them in our life, and we've got everything that pertaineth unto life. Why do we have to bring these things for we could be saved? Almost for others could have salvation, because you're only going to bring these things through salvation. These right here are the mirror, brothers and sisters, to salvation, that you could see salvation, and you're going to have to see it in your life. And others will have to see it in your life. How are they going to come to know Jesus? Lest you bring them. Godliness, brothers and sisters, is the revealing of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God, His attributes, His love and kindness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is when we've passed from death unto life, when you love the brethren. How can you say you have brotherly kindness when you're totally crucifying in your mind continually the brethren, continually, with such a thing? Where is these virtues of God? Where is this revealing of Christ in that? If Jesus loved you when you was in your stumbling and staggering and your failures and in your sin, and He loved you, where is your love to receive this godliness and receive this love of Christ and His virtue and His patience? Where's your patience with your wife? Where's your patience with your husband? Where's your patience with your children? Where's your patience with this? Yeah, the preacher's preaching at himself today. Because we're all men and all hearts are fashioned alike. And I understand what struggles are. I understand what pressing is. Temperance is something that we got to bring forth and yield forth. You see, if you were sitting here, not to sound crude this morning, but if you were sitting here and having to operate self-control on your bladder, it's something that you're controlling, and you're saying, well, I don't want to disturb to serve something, but you're offering us something to resist. Now, what about in the other realms? How come we feel justified in sometimes about spouting and spewing like the sea shaming out its foam? That's what the Bible says. You see, the problem is we as mankind, we always justify ourselves. We're always looking for a reason to justify ourselves. It's like I told you, a man stood out here on the back steps with me. He said, man, Brother Rob, my brother such and such, he got in my face and he done this, he said this and he done this and thus and thus. And the guy wanted me to get on board with him. Oh yeah, that brother ain't never been born again. He needs to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That brother ain't never been right. That's what he wanted to hear from me. But what would that do for him? Nothing. It would make him feel justified in his ignorance, in his spewing, in his vomiting. It would make him feel justified in his anger and his temperance. It would make him feel justified in his strife and his discord and his sowing discord amongst the brotherhood. It would make him feel justified in that. And I said, God prepared that man's heart. God is the one that hardened that man's heart to get in your face. For you could exercise temperance, self-control, godliness, virtue, righteousness. That you could exercise patience and gentleness and kindness, the attributes of God. That now you get to show Him this. And sometimes when you show it to people, you find strength. Sometimes when you failed in this, and in your face, and you conquered, it brings strength to you. You know, we use natural things. You know, if you're in your karate class and they kick you in the head and I'll say, whoa, I'm not going to let that happen again. And all of a sudden you start exercising a guard or you start exercising something. Or if you get the airplane over on its side and you exercise to be able to get it straightened back up and landed, you bring a strength and saying it makes you better. There's a little girl right here across the street last Sunday after church, come around this corner, been raining, and flipped her car right out here. And I walked up to the little girl sitting in the police car crying. And I said, this is what makes you a better driver. Oh yeah, we're looking in the car all tore up here, totaled out. And we're fixing. Her and her sister were just about unscratched. And I mean, tore a car up good. I said, this is what makes you a better driver. Next time it's raining, you'll be thinking about it. I don't know how many of you have hydroplaned before. I have. Some of these times we don't get the ability to grow from some of these failures. Sometimes we think because if we failed in temperance or patience or these things, or we failed in godliness, that it makes us a misfit or that we can't make it. But brothers and sisters, take these failures, these stumblings, these staggers, these things, and take them and learn from them and grow in them. Then thank God that God allowed you to go through those things. Do you ever pray that way? Thank you, Lord, for the tribulation, the persecutions. Thank you, Lord, for the suffering that I can fellowship you. The attributes of God to be shown forth, to understand, to see, to reveal, takes the attributes of flesh to bring them forth. So am I telling you to go exercise fleshly attributes where you can see Christ? No, they're already there. And they're already trying to look for preeminence and self-esteem. And they're looking to manifest. And you got to learn to shut them off, destroy them. There's people that even come into the realms of the religious world, and they're still motivated by fleshly attributes in the spiritual dimension, in the spiritual realm, because what they're looking for is preeminence. Just like a man would climb the corporate ladder in a business, he's looking to be esteemed and come up the corporate ladder. You got to prove yourself on the corporate ladder before you go up. And they say, okay, this man's capable. He's accomplished. He's done. And he's done. And you move up. People in the spiritual realms, and it's okay to desire to do more for the things of God. You should be making yourself available to the work of God, the things of God, making yourself faithful. Then you could be utilized. Brother Pike used to say so many times that, well, we're getting ready to go over and we're going to set a meeting over here in Hawaii or wherever it's at. Oh man, Brother George, I'll go, man, I'll do this for, I'll do that. And he wouldn't pay no attention to him because he was never on the home front doing anything. They wasn't doing anything on the home front. So why would we think we could get them out when we're trying to do a thrust for God in a foreign field or somewhere? Why would we think they would do anything for God when we get them out there when they can't do nothing on the home front? I remember the brethren talking down there that Brother Pike was a very active man. He'd come out and get on a pick and help dig the trenches and the ditches or the footings, I should say, for buildings and things. Guys would come around and see Brother George with a pick in his hand and come, hey man, let me have that. Let me take that thing. All right, I'll do it. Brother George stops, hands it to him, stand back, and boy, they're picking away from it. The pastor walks off and the pick's on the ground. What is that? Now think about it. What is that? There's many times people look for that thrust. Spirits, brothers and sisters, look for the inspiration at last 1 second. It could be in a glare or glance of an eye between a man and a woman. Going opposite directions in automobiles or walking, just that little thing, could strengthen and empower a spirit. Are we sensitive to the spirit world? Here we're talking about things that we bring a manifestation of a spiritual world, but are we really sensitive to the things that are taking place in the spiritual realm of the invisible world? How much that you are subjected to it? You see, to bring the attributes forth of Christ is going to be through a travail and a fight and a pressing. To bring the attributes of Satan forth is through relaxation and an ease and a carnal mind. It's going to manifest in laziness on your part. When you don't have a vision, it's going to manifest in carnality and fleshly lust. When you don't have a desire, it's going to manifest in lust and in the flesh. What are you going to do, Brother Rob? Press us to be on church jobs and press us this? No, I'm not going to press you to do those things. You better start learning to press yourself to do those things. But you know, when you learn to commit your works unto the Lord and you learn to seek after the kingdom of God first and to put these things of God, then when you go out to do your own things, you can expect blessings. The things of God, when they're unveiled to you, they're so simple. They're truly so simple when they're really truly unveiled to you. I could talk about God makes your 90 cents go farther than you could make your dollar go. But I could tell you that God could make a four-hour day more prosperous. I remember Brother Pike testifying to a man that was helping him in his school. And he said the man come over and gave a half a day. And he said that he went out and he was doing wallpaper for the other half a day. But Brother Pike said that God was prospering him and blessed him for his half a day because he honored the first half every day in the school. And he said, God bless this man. These things may not sound right to you. I know we've got to be careful of testimony. If you make an appointment to be at somebody's house at 8:30, you need to be there at 8:30. And we could ruin our testimonies and our mouthpiece. And we can't say nothing for God because we're such a terrible business individual that they would never even want to hear anything about the Lord Jesus Christ from us because they say this guy don't even have it together naturally. You have to be careful. Sometimes your actions, sometimes brethren like to fellowship with brethren, and sometimes God could reveal to you in your heart something that would help another brother. And it's really a revelation from God. It's really a word of knowledge. It's really an understanding, something, or maybe you failed there or something like that, but because of the attributes in your life and the actions and the things that you've done and the lack of self-control in your own life, that they don't give you a voice or a mouthpiece. See, I've been there too. I've shared it with you. I don't share my failures, brothers and sisters, to strengthen Satan. I share them with you because I've learned some things. Like I told the little girl, what's over there in her car's up on its side, I said, this makes you a better driver. When you are a righteous man and you get back up and you press in, it makes you a better Christian. Because somewhere you've discovered where this pothole is in the road, and you could discover how to stay away from it. Isn't it sad as a testimony for mankind to say that many of the learning experiences we have is through failure? Wouldn't it be nice if we could say, man, I listened to a great man of God and he explained this to me about this spiritual warfare and about these kind of things, and I perceived and received what he said and I walked in the power and the strength of God? Is that your testimony? We could all say that we've gleaned from great men of God and heard awesome things, but have we exercised it? Have we applied it? Have we yielded it forth? Have we brought forth the strength and the power and the virtue? Have we brought it forth? Can people see it in your life? My son was standing with me in that man's business one day, and the guy grabbed a crowbar and was raging. He said, I'm giving you 5 seconds to get out that door. I could have grabbed that crowbar out of his hand, and I could have whipped it over his head. I know how to exercise fleshly dominance. I know how to be ignorant. I know how to look for masculinity in this world. I know how to answer that kind of stuff. Yeah, I could have grabbed that thing and said, you ain't going to do nothing. Could have slapped a knot on his head. I could have said, you should have never pulled a crowbar on me, sir. But I looked at him and said, I love you. I said, that don't sound like a Christ-like thing to do. Am I testifying of myself? No, I'm testifying of his patience, his virtue, his temperance. I know what mine's like. Mine would have failed when he got that crowbar in my face. Maybe the man part could have kicked in with fear and ran out the door. Oh my, the guy's got a crowbar and hit the door. Okay, sir, I'm in. Hey, I'm out of here. See, that would have been yielding to flesh. What is it, brothers and sisters? What is your opportunity to express the love of God? I broke fellowship with a minister because he didn't have his household in order. It wasn't because of his doctrine. His doctrine was exactly what it was when I left. But when his children destroyed a restaurant right in my presence, destroy is probably a little bit strong word, but put chaos in there. When his children are going over the tables and knocking off the silverware and the things where the tables are set for the next parties to come in, I knew he wasn't going to last long. How can you testify yourself being a pastor when there's that much disorder in your household? How can you speak to a spirit and command a spirit when you can't command your own household? How could you express order in such a case as that? So the man lost his mouthpiece in the community. What was the end of the matter? The church come to naught was the end of the matter. Simply for one reason, he violated one of the scriptures, didn't have his house in order. When we look at these things to bring forth and yield in our lives, it brings an order into our lives. And we've got to bring these things into an order. And when people see that you've lacked any of these things in your life, they're going to have a reservation of listening to you speak, to listen to your wisdom, your understanding, your revelation, your knowledge, because they don't see it applied in your own life. It's important to have an application in your life. It's hard to take flying lessons from somebody that don't know how to fly. I've said those things, for example, what about your Christianity? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about this. But then yet when we look, you're not able to perform. The performance brings virtue, strength, anointing. It brings God. We've got to exercise it. This morning I sat down late to some prayer. And when the Spirit of God started going, it broke a yoke. Not off of just him, off of others. Sometimes we've got to exercise. Sometimes we've got to speak. Sometimes we've got to praise. Sometimes we've got to worship. We come to church and like, oh yeah, I wish this song service hurry and get over. You know, but if you was part of the song service in worship and praising God, I'm talking about right there in your pew, there's something in you that just says, I want to love you, Jesus. I want to love you, Lord Jesus. I want to express my love to you, Jesus. You see, but that's only going to come by having that spirit of virtue, that spirit of Christ, that spirit of God, the love within you. Let me read on a little bit more and we'll close the service. Patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. If you take the time after you go home today, open up your Bible to the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and read about charity. It vaunteth not itself. It thanketh no evil. It thanketh no evil. It thanketh no evil. How many times do you deal with evil thoughts in a day? When charity thanketh no evil. How many times do you deal with evil thoughts? Help us, Jesus. The brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, it doesn't say if these things be in your pastor or if these things be, it says if they be in you. If I fail him, it doesn't make you excusable. If I lack him, it doesn't make you excusable. It doesn't justify fleshly emotions and animosities in you because I fail in these things. It says, let them be in you. That's your requirement. It's your obligation. Let it be in you. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Barren, it says, and unfruitful. Barren nor unfruitful. You know, a woman could be unfruitful. She could be barren. The man's seed could be unfruitful. No strength, no power in it. The woman could be barren. So that means she does not reproduce. She doesn't bring forth a child. But what about in this that he's speaking about if you're barren and unfruitful? It means you don't bring forth the Christ child, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything that we read about is the revealing of Jesus Christ. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those things there. And if you don't bring forth that revelation, then you're barren and you're unfruitful. This is the need. To yield forth the fruit. The revelation of Jesus Christ has been so misunderstood as some kind of a knowledge, some kind of a study, some kind of a secret. It's secret to the people of this world, brothers and sisters. But we're the stewards of the secrets. We're the stewards of the mysteries. We yield them and bring them forth. But he that lacketh these things is blind. What does blind mean, Brother Rob? It means you can't see. But Jesus expressed people being blind that could see. They had eyes to see, but they could not see. And cannot see afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Don't ever forget that being purged from your sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Verse 10 again. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling. Your calling. We spend too much time trying to make sure the other guy's calling and election is sure. But it's your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. How would you like that for your testimony? You see, when you fall, it's because you're lacking these things in your life. The reason you fall, the reason you're down, the reason you're in torment, the reason you're in travail, the reason he's saying, because you failed these things. And you justify your failures because it's always somebody else's fault when you fail. It's always somebody pushed you. Somebody's got the devil. Somebody's wrong. And somebody's ignorant. Somebody's this. And you justify your ignorances, your failures and things because of it. Somebody else caused you. Somebody provoked you. Somebody pushed you. Somebody robbed you. Somebody stole from you. Somebody cheated you. Somebody lied. And it makes them all wrong and you're right. But you're the one that's wrong because God hardened their heart. He prepared them. And they may be sons of God. And they may be walking with him. But he prepared them to bring forth fruit in your life. I don't believe that. It's all right. You don't have to. It doesn't justify sin in another man's life, but God could harden them and he might be doing a work in them at the very same time he's doing you. That they could fall on their face and say, Lord God, I failed you. Lord God, I didn't have temperance in my life, and I allowed this thing the way I acted to my brother. And that man could be on his face crying out before Lord and find repentance with God. And you go on in your bitterness and your hatred and your harshness and your rashness of things, and you lose when the other one finds repentance. It isn't a matter of what we're seeing of their failure. It's a matter of how we deal with it. That's what matters, how we deal with it. It doesn't matter what they've done. It matters how we receive it and what we do with it. This is talking about, as we read here, this is for you. Verse 10 again says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Talking about an entrance now. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now we're talking about my responsibility as a pastor. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. I think of Friday night's message. I mean, I preach at you like a bunch of heathens, but it's my obligation. I can't be negligent to bring you into the things that are around about you, the fleshly things that are drawing and pulling on you. It's my obligation to keep those things and stir up that pure mind in you. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up and putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Can you say that? Have you been an eyewitness? You say, well, Paul saw him. Street called straight. That's not what he's talking about here, even though it applies. Have you seen the Lord? For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of that? Think about it. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's a powerful scripture right there, if you can perceive it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is for any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand together. I appreciate y'all giving me adequate time this morning to speak to you about these things. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate His Word. I appreciate the virtue of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, the power of salvation. I appreciate the opportunities. I could stand here and testify to you that I appreciate the fact of my failures in life of meeting up to the requirements and expectations of God. Because in my failures and my weaknesses and stuff, I learned to call on Him for strength. Say, God, I need help. God, I need strength. God, I need power. God, help me. There's a good way to learn to pray right there. God, I'm not praying for help for my salvation. I'm praying for help to help me to bring others to salvation. And when you're seeking after salvation for others, you'll never lose yours. When you're concerned about the salvation of other people, and you're concerned about the light that you're shedding forth, when you're concerned about your testimony, when you're concerned about the way people are looking and seeing your life, not in some hypocritical way of just putting on some kind of a religious front, but I'm talking about when they could look in and examine and look for the strength and the power and the virtue of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if we can't carry a testimony within our own families, how are we going to carry it outside? You think we're going to live some sort of a hypocritical life, and that just because they think you've got it under control, that don't bring virtue? Because you could fool people and make them think that you've got these things in your life. There won't be no virtue when they touch you or you touch them. There won't be no anointing and no virtue. As Brother Mike said, he's speaking to a woman in a house, and he was speaking, and all of a sudden the woman broke down crying. There's because there was some virtue in the brother's life, because he was sincere. He wasn't trying to project his understanding, his knowledge to the woman, and he could leave there and she could think, boy, he's a mighty man of God. We just saw there was a concern for her soul and seeing the problems. And when there's a real true concern, then the anointing goes, the virtue goes, the power goes, and then the deliverance comes and the testimony comes, because somebody's set free because the virtue of God leaves your body. Amen. So with faith, let's get virtue. And that's not make believe. Virtue isn't something that you can make believe with in hypocrisy. It isn't something that you can put on some kind of a front or some kind of a verbal knowledge or some kind of a thing. Virtue is going to come because you have your household and your life in order. Amen. And we get this house here in order. We get our households in order. We have the church in order. If the church is out of order, the house is usually out of order. If the pastor's house is out of order, the church will be out of order. There's ways of looking and seeing, brothers and sisters, of observing and watching. Pray that God will help us. Amen. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Remember our dear friend, Brother Marion, in prayer. The Lord spoke to him and told him to get off of some of his medications and things, and he's helped him and strengthened him. It's been a travail. As we sing and worship and sing together, we'll pray for him right now. I just want you to, your hearts to go out to the brother right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray right now for our dear brother. Father, as we spoke about the virtue and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father, we're calling upon the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we send it forth right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, to this my brother, touch his physical body right now in Jesus' name, Lord God. Father, I ask you to let the anointing of the Holy Ghost go through these phone lines right now in the name of Jesus Christ and touch this brother right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and your lying devices. And you cannot lie to this my friend and brother no more. He is a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King, walking in the power and the strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I say, Lord God, bring forth that virtue, that strength, and that power right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. Can anybody say, I feel the power of the Most High King in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the virtue of Jesus Christ that has gone forth right now and touched that my brother. Father God, as I feel the delivering power of your Spirit and the power of your salvation, hallelujah, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for Brother Marion this morning. Most gracious Father, if there's any others right here today that are in need, Lord God, and need a touch of the Holy Ghost, a touch of the supernatural, Father God, I ask you to touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Touch their mind, touch their heart, touch their thoughts, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel the presence of God, brothers and sisters. Amen. The power of His virtue and His strength. Amen. Fall in love with Him. Yield yourself to Him. Say, God, help me. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You love Him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I like to see the Lord touch somebody. Amen. It makes me feel good. Amen. Because I get touched. When I pray for the need of a brother like Brother Marion, I feel the touch of the Lord come to me and strengthen me and encourage me and fill me, hallelujah, with the love and the joy and the power, amen, and the virtue of Jesus Christ, amen. It's for you. Come drink and be partakers of this, amen. Eat of that hidden manna and drink of that water that you shall never thirst ever again. Amen. It's real, brothers and sisters. It isn't something that was here for the patriarchs of old and now it's gone. It isn't something that was here when Jesus walked and now it's gone. It's now, it's ever present in our day, brothers and sisters, of need. Amen. He's alive. He's well. He's on the throne. He's here. He is the I Am. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you feel that power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Can you feel the power of Jesus Christ? It's one thing to sing about it, but it's another thing to feel it surging through your innermost being, cleansing you and washing you and regenerating you. Hallelujah. Setting you free. Amen. Bringing a joy unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. You know, when a man's drunk, he can express things and you think, man, I don't know where he's coming from. If you drink what he's drinking, you'll probably understand him a little better. I don't recommend that, but come drink what I've been drinking of. Amen. It's of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It'll bring forth the joy, hallelujah, of the Lord. Amen. Because you know that you're a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. Amen. Hallelujah. And that you're walking in heavenly places and you're dwelling in the kingdom of God. That you pass from death unto life and nothing can be laid to your charge. Amen. I'll tell you, that's a wonderful place to come to. Amen. Hallelujah. You might find a little joy yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altars are open. We're not going to tarry long. You have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory this morning? Hallelujah. The only reason it's unspeakable because you couldn't put an intellectual word of comprehension to it. It is so unspeakable. It's just something that He's given you. Amen. That is so awesome. It's so pure, so clean, so virtuous, so righteous, and so holy. You can't express it, but you can taste of it, and you can feel it, amen, moving through your innermost being, stirring you up, coming up from a burning down in the bosom, amen, from a thrust, amen, and a fire down there in your bones, amen. Hallelujah. No carnal words of comprehension could bring you to understand. You just got to say, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your joy. Let it move down in. As this mother's got a little child kicking within, say, Christ, I want to feel you moving down within and pushing forth. Hallelujah. There isn't nothing that could be more desirable. Thank you, Lord. Have you travailed until Christ be formed in you? Amen. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I'm glad I came to church today. Well, Brother Rob got preached to today. Amen. I love the Lord. I come to church to be fed. Well, I appreciate y'all. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, to add strength and virtue, Lord God, patience, diligence, godliness, righteousness, Lord God, to this my brethren, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, fill their cups overflowing, Lord God. Let their cups overrun. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God, Lord God, that they can walk upright and straight and pure. Lord God, I pray that these families come together in unity and one mind and one accord, that the love of God can be made known and made manifest in married life, Lord God, and in a brotherly love, Lord, one towards another. Oh, Father, bless their hands, bless their businesses, Lord God. Bless everything that they touch, Father God. Let them prosper and be in health, Lord God. Anoint and strengthen and heal and bring virtue in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you expect this morning? Hallelujah. Can you believe? Thank you, Jesus. Believe and expect. Have a hope and a trust. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Fall in love with Him. Express to Him the love you have for Him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can hear me say that, but sometimes you should hear yourself saying, I love you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it feels good to say that. Try it sometime. Just lift up your hands and say, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you'll feel maybe that strength and that virtue come to you. Hallelujah. Try it. Amen. It works. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. I worship you, Lord God. I'm in love with you, Jesus. I thank you for life and everything that pertains therein. Oh, God, fill me with your love. Hallelujah. Let it overflow. Amen. Let my cup overrun, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The preacher got himself beside himself. Amen. But that's all right. It's for Christ. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And He returns His love. Amen. When you love Him, He returns love. And He'll show you what love is. Amen. Fall in love with Him. When you really fall in love with Him, He makes you a husband. He makes you a wife. He makes you a true daughter, a true son. He makes you virtuous. Amen. You need Him. You can't have what I'm talking about outside of Him. This whole message this morning, outside of His Spirit, you'll never see it, comprehend it, nor understand it. It takes His Spirit. It takes His Spirit to receive the things that I'm talking about. It takes His Spirit. Say, God, grant your Spirit to me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord God. Fill me with your Spirit, oh God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You love Him? Amen. He's good. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.